Jana Tanita Tasya Janjana Shakaya Chakshur Nitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manadistam is Tapitam Jena Bhutane Vayam Bhupakara Vayam Dhati Shakadam. Thank you all for coming. We're talking about how to make the mind the friend. In this book, Bhagavad Gita, maybe you've seen it before, it's written in a very, very old language, Sanskrit, and it said, Udhrayatmanatmanam atmanam navasadhyaya. The meaning is that one can make the, that one has to free oneself with the help of the mind. The mind can help set us free. And the mind can be the best friend, or the mind can be worst enemy. The mind can go either way. Now, what determines whether the mind is my friend or my enemy? Who knows? What makes the mind the friend or the enemy?
The state of mind,
very good. It's the state of mind that makes the mind my friend or my enemy. Anyone else have something to say about that? What makes the mind my friend or my enemy? Anyone else want to say something? Okay, we'll go with that. Mind, oh yeah. Our thoughts, huh? Okay, it's the state of mind. It's our thoughts. Very good. Now in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the person who has a mind as his friend is the person whose mind is controlled. The person who can control his mind. When we can control our mind, it's the best friend. And when the mind is uncontrolled, worse than it. And there's an example given that suppose you're driving in your car. So as long as you have control of the car is great. It's your friend. It gets you where you want to go. But suppose you have your hand on the wheel and you're turning, but the trip doesn't go. You lose control of the car. Right? So in America, we get snow and ice in the winter. And sometimes when your car is on the snow or the ice, your car is out of your control. Because you turn the wheel to do whatever you want, and the car goes wherever it wants. And then you get crack-ups, you get accidents. It's scary, actually, right? Imagine that you're in your car and you can't get it to go where you want it to go. It's very scary. So it's like that. The mind is supposed to be under control. But if it's not under our control, if it's uncontrolled, then it's our enemy. Now who controls the mind? But what is our instrument for controlling the mind? In the car, it's the steering wheel, right? So, what is it that controls the mind? Anyone know?
Consciousness,
right. It's the consciousness that controls the mind. And what does it do with, what's the instrument that consciousness uses for controlling the mind? It's not easy to guess, I'll tell you, it's intelligence. Intelligence, through our intelligence, we control the mind. You know, the mind says, hey, let me do this, hey, let me do that. And the intelligence has to kick in and say, you want to do what? That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life. Or the intelligence says, that's really a good idea. You know, like, so you have the idea that you go to college, and the intelligence says, well, that's a good idea, you'll have a better position in society, you'll get a better job, you'll have economic advantage. Intelligence analyzes and says, okay, it will cost me a couple of years, but it's a good decision. And there are other things, you know, that you can do that'll really mess your life up. You know, somebody comes and says, hey, try this drug, and you say, great. And then your life is a mess, right? Because the intelligence didn't kick in and say, okay, I'm going to get 5 minutes of bliss here, but then I'm going to get addicted, and then I'm going to have a habit, and then I'm going to have to pay for that habit, and then I'm going to be unemployable, and I'm going to be, my life's going to be a wreck. So the intelligence should kick in and say, you want me to do what? Then your intelligence is your friend, right? Your intelligence is protecting you. Your intelligence is working on your behalf. If the intelligence isn't working on your behalf, then the mind does whatever hits it at the moment, and it's your enemy. So the mind, the intelligence controls the mind, and then the mind controls, you know?
Senses.
And then your life goes where you want it to go. Your senses are controlled by the mind. The mind is controlled by good intelligence. Intelligence is under your spiritual consciousness. And now you're making progress in your life. The other way, the senses drag the mind, the mind drags the intelligence down, and everything is ruined. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So, how to bring the intelligence in charge? We have to purify our consciousness. When consciousness is purified, when consciousness is elevated, then it works on our behalf to control the mind, to control the senses. Krishna says one should bring oneself up with the help of the mind and not let the mind drag us down. When the mind is controlled, then it can uplift us. And when the mind is degraded, it can drag us down. Even let's take something like reading. You can read a book like the Bhagavad Gita or something else that will be uplifting for you, that will give you spiritual knowledge, that will purify your heart. Or there's other stuff you can read, you won't even get into it, you know, that will really bring your mind down to the gutter. Right? You've seen that kind of stuff. It just brings the mind down and all sorts of real junk. So it's up to you what you want to read, what you want to eat, how you want to live. Entirely up to you. And what's the key to it? Key is intelligence controlling the mind, mind controlling the senses, and above the intelligence, purified consciousness. So what is this chanting of Hare Krishna that we're doing? It's a lot of fun. We can dance, we can sing, we have a good time. But there's something more to it there, that this chanting of Hare Krishna purifies our consciousness, or you can say purifies the heart. If consciousness is purified, then our intelligence goes in the right direction, it becomes strong, it controls mind and senses. Then our life is nice. So this chanting is a simple, simple process. Anyone can do it. Only 3 words, Hare Krishna and Rama. And at the same time, it's a very deep thing, a very powerful means to uplift ourselves so that our life becomes purified and successful. Ultimately, it revives our relationship with God. So both ways, in this life we become happy, and in the next life we become successful also. That's the whole thing in summary. In 12 minutes or not too much more than that. And because I don't like to talk a long time and drag things out without knowing what you want to know about, it's open for questions. Whatever kind of questions you might have, might be bubbling up here, you're welcome to ask. Do we have a second microphone, or is it just this one?
It's just this one.
Just this one, okay.
So,
And it's always interesting to see what the first question might be. Okay, it's yours.
Here, you're close enough so that you can move this to the middle and I can give you this one.
Why is your clothing different to ours?
Why is our clothing different from ours?
Yes.
Why is my clothing different from yours? Well, there's a few reasons. One is that you will see me from the other side of the canvas. You blend in, right? And we stand out. But what's the reason for that? Why do we want to stand out? Are we just like peacocks or something? Or do you want to, or like zebras, you know, want to make a big fashion statement, stand out? The reason is so that you'll know, here's people who are dedicating themselves to Krishna. Here's people who are engaging in the spiritual life of Krishna consciousness. And I can approach them. I can ask them something about Krishna. I can find out what I want to know. Just like a policeman is wearing blue, at least in New York they wear blue. I don't know what color they wear here, but they always wear a uniform. So when you want to find a policeman, he doesn't blend in the crowd. He stands out. So this is our uniform. The other reason is it's real cheap and it washes real easy. Yes, you have to be loud because you're in the back.
I couldn't hear.
Yeah. So you want to know the why behind our diet?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we're different in our diet too. No meat. Whoa. No fish. Oh. No eggs. But then we've got fruits, grains, milk products, vegetables, so many things that, and we know what to do with them. You know, half the thing is knowing what to do with them. You can do things with fruits, grains, and vegetables that will make you just forget that meat ever existed. I mean, you can even do things with them and you say, wow, this tastes just like meat. That, if you know how to do it, you can do that too. So either way, you can go. But the idea is that there are thousands and thousands of things that you can make. And it's healthier. You feel better. You live longer. You're not any less strong. I mean, there are Olympic athletes who are totally vegetarian, you know, champions. It's kinder. You don't have to slit anyone's throat to get your lunch. It's better for the environment. For, you know, what it takes to get 1 pound of meat, you could get like 15 pounds of grain. It's so much more efficient, so much more gentle on the environment. And most important is that we offer all our food to Krishna. And Krishna happens to be vegetarian. Krishna asks for fruits, grains, milk products, and so on. So because Krishna asks for these things, that's what we offer. Krishna said, I want blood. I want flesh. Well, Krishna's God, we might offer those things also. But Krishna is not like that. He asks fruits, grains, milk products, vegetables. So that's what we offer to Krishna. Is that okay? Yes.
Is Krishna your God?
Is Krishna my God? Krishna is a universal name for God. How many gods are there?
Four.
One. Okay, that was an easy one. One God. So he's my God, he's your God, he's the God of the man next door, he's the God of the guy across the other side of the world. Just one. How many names are there for God? Many. Many, many, many. There's a book in Sanskrit called The Thousand, and one name is a thousand names of God. There's a book in Islam also. How many, somebody who's Muslim here? How many names are there of Allah? 100 and something. So there's thousands of names for God. You know, there's in Spanish and Zulu and French and German. So Krishna is the name of God, and it means all attractive. He can attract the American, he can attract the African, he can attract the Chinese person, the Russian. He can attract the Christian, he can attract the Hindu, he can attract the Muslim, he can attract the atheist. He can attract the man, the woman, the old person, the young person. That's God. You can attract, everyone can be attracted to God. God is the wisest, God is the strongest, God is the most beautiful. So everyone can be attracted to God. Therefore, this name Krishna is universal, it's for everyone. Yes.
So I'd like to know where is mind and how to exercise it.
Where is mind?
Where is mind? Where is the mind?
Where is the mind?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a really interesting question. Where is the mind? You know, we'll send out a search party. Where is this mind? In the Bhagavad Gita it said that mind is very subtle. You know, subtle? Like there's gross things. Like this is a very gross thing. Because you can see it. Right? Everyone can see this. Everyone can hear it. Everyone can touch it. Doesn't have much of a smell. Little metallic smell, everyone could smell it. So, sound, taste, sight, touch, smell, all of your senses can perceive this thing. Now let's take water. You can see it, you can hear it, you can touch it, you can't smell it. Right? Water doesn't have a smell unless there's something put into it. Pure water doesn't smell. So it's a little more subtle. Only four of your senses can catch it, not five. Now let's take, if it has taste, water, but no smell. Now let's take fire. You can see it, you can feel it. You can hear it, but you can't taste it. You can't smell it. Right? You don't want to taste fire. And yet fire has no taste. So that's two senses now that are out of the running. Now let's take the air. Sight just went out of the picture. Anyone here can see the air? No. So it's more subtle. See what I mean? Gets more subtle. You can't see the air. Earth, water, fire, air, getting more and more subtle. Now the mind is still more subtle. Can't touch it. Can't smell it. Can't hear it. Can't feel it. Did I say smell? Yeah, I think I did. So all of the senses, they can't see the mind. The mind is aware of all of your senses. But the senses can't see the mind. So the mind is very subtle. So it's within you. The mind is within. But exactly where it is, it's hard to know. It's like a subtle body. You know, here's a gross body. You could touch it. You can see it. You can hear it. You know, all of the senses can perceive this body. But the mind, you don't perceive. It's there. but you don't see it. I know that you have a mind. You know that I have a mind. But you have to find out some other way. You can't, none of the senses can directly perceive it. So it's like a subtle body, like a body that I'm wearing, but it's finer. Like somebody's wearing a coat and someone's wearing a shirt. The coat is a big heavy thing and everybody, you know, take my coat off. But the shirt is more fine, right? A little thin piece of cotton maybe. So I have a gross thing I'm wearing and a more subtle thing. So the body is like that. I have a gross body, this one that you see, and then the subtle body made of mind and intelligence. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
And the second, how do you control it? How to exercise it. Best way to exercise the mind is in thinking of Krishna. Yeah, Krishna, to think of God. To use your mind in different ways in the service of God. Now I'm using my, when I let my mind go, I think, whoa, I could go out there to the club and get stinking drunk and wake up with a hangover tomorrow. That would be, well, yeah, that's a bad thing. Or I think, I imagine something. Or I think, all sorts of things can go on in the mind, but a lot of them are not very good. And then you could think of something, you could think of art, you could think of poetry, you could think of science, you could think of a lot of things that are a lot better than, say, the latest porn novel or something like that. But what's the highest thing you can think of? Highest thing is God. So there's, just as there's books of chemistry and periodic tables and stuff like that, so this is a science about God. So the best thing to do with our mind is engage it. You can't stop it. Mind is not going to stop. But you can engage it, just like we have our books back here. Some of you already have these books. So these books will fill your mind with something. They'll give you something to think of. But it's something uplifting instead of something that drags us down.
If I'm mad, does it mean I don't have mind or what? If I'm mad, does it mean that I don't have mind or what? If I'm mad. Yes. Does it mean that I don't have mind or what? If I'm mentally dependent sometimes.
What if we're mad and then we don't have a mind? We still have a mind, but it's crazy, right? And I'll tell you a secret. You know who's crazy?
Who?
Just about everyone.
Everyone, I'm not crazy.
Everybody? Yeah, everyone is crazy, pretty much. When our mind is uncontrolled, then our intelligence should say to the mind, my friend, you're crazy. Almost everyone has a mind that sometimes goes crazy. I mean, I have experience. I've done things that are, you know, you look back at it and I must have been crazy. Right? I must have been mad. So, how does the mind become mad? When it's uncontrolled. When it's uncontrolled. And when someone's really mad, then it's like the mind is, you can't control it, right? It's beyond control. You know, at least we can somewhat control our mind, and so people say, well, he's sane. But when a person loses it, right, when he just can't control himself, and he says, and sometimes it even happens, the person becomes angry, and he can't control himself. We say, he's gone mad. Then maybe cools down later. Anger can make one crazy. A guy, you know, beats up his wife. He hits her with an iron pipe or something. You know, and then later he thinks, what did I do? Because anger can make one mad. So, but even a person who's like you know, institutionally bad, you know, clinically bad, like over the edge, can still hear this sound. This sound is therapeutic. It acts like medicine. Even a crazy person can have his mind purified by this sound. By this sound. So even we have experience that even people who are like really crazy can become completely sane through this chanting of Hare Krishna. Okay, I saw some more hands. I see your hand, right? I passed you by. Right?
Why do people have different way of thinking?
Why do people have?
Different way of thinking. Different way.
Different ways of
thinking. Of thinking.
Of thinking.
Why do people have different ways of thinking? Because everyone's an individual. Everyone is an individual. You're a person, and a person means an individual person. God is the supreme person. He has his way of thinking. And we're individual persons. Every one of us has our own way of thinking. And the secret of bhakti yoga is to connect your way of thinking with his way of thinking. That's called bhakti. That's called bhakti, B-H-A-K-T-I, Bhakti Yoga Society, that's called bhakti. To connect your way of thinking with God's way of thinking. Or to, you know, like when there's harmony, you know, when things are out of harmony, then you get a sound that's all a mess. And when it's in harmony, then it sounds good, right? So when we put our thoughts in harmony with God's thoughts, then our mind is really on a spiritual platform. Or when we connect our thoughts with God, then our thoughts are on the spiritual platform. And the easiest way, again, is chanting of these names of God, frees the mind and brings it up. Okay, in the back there we have some questions. Alright, there's a big tall hand there. Yes, yours, the blue one. I couldn't hear. Could you hear? You're as far back as he is. Can someone closer relay what was said? Did you hear? Is this what we do all the time, or do we just come and do this?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I was asking actually if I want to actually join you, right? Because we are all like different gods.
If you want to join, just please talk in lab.
Yes. Because I just asked me if you. Are we actually allowed, if we actually join, are we allowed to actually do other things?
Are you allowed to do other things? Sure. Yeah, just like, who's here? This, we have a student devotee, or we have some devotees. Okay, this man's a student, and he's doing this also. Okay, that answers your question right there, right? You can do two things at once.
Three,
four, so many things you can do. Multitasking. And you'll do it better. You become a better student, you become a better, whatever it is, better anything. Another question. Okay, loud, loud.
What is the new culture is based on the mental resources that are available in the world, right? So that would be your ocean as your vegetable and all of those things. Now, in terms of the paradigm shift of the world today, for example, in America, they're moving more to urbanizing each and every place. So eventually, there will be any natural vegetation. How do you think that will affect your culture in a way?
Okay. He was saying that our culture is based on natural things like fruits and vegetables and so on. But the way some countries are going, like America, everything is becoming increasingly urbanized and, you know, kind of covered over with concrete. And what's that going to do to our culture? That makes a mess of everybody's culture. You, me, and everyone. When you bring everyone into the cities and you cover everything with concrete, and everyone's working in a factory or in an office, then basically what you're doing is you're turning your society into hell. Hell means a place where everyone has to suffer, right? The city means exactly that. Instead of fresh water, you get recycled water, right? First you flush it down the toilet, then you run it through a plant, you know, through some filters and stuff, and then you drink it. That's called city water. Instead of fresh fruits and fresh vegetables that come from, you know, your backyard or from the market of the person in your neighborhood, it comes from 600 miles away. And it's picked off the tree when it's green instead of ripe. And they ripen it with this kind of gas or this kind of stuff. And they stick it in the refrigerator for, you know, 3 weeks. And they put extra chemicals in it so that it will last on the shelf for as long as it has to last. And then that's what you eat instead of natural fruit that you can get in the countryside. Same story for the vegetables, same story for the grains. Is that a better life? No. Instead of working outdoors and in the fields, working with nature, a person's in a little cubicle, you know, a little place this big, and he's got a computer screen and a telephone. Hello, IBM. Hello, IBM. May I help you? IBM. Is that a better way of life? Is that happier? And then in any day of the week, a little note can come, sorry, you're laid off because we don't need you anymore, or business has changed. And what are we producing in our factories? Things that we don't need. Right? Another machine, another gadget, another whatever it is. And then someone's job is to advertise these unnecessary things so that you'll think, I gotta have that. So we have jobs, we're working to produce something unnecessary. And I'm working to spend my money after I'm working at a job making unnecessary things, then I'm spending my money on unnecessary things. And paying heavy taxes because to run a city takes so much trouble. The police force has to be a big one. Every kind of petroleum gets added to the cost of my food because it has to be trucked from here to there. So it's not a question of my culture, it's a question of everyone's culture. It destroys African culture. African culture has so much value to it. You know, it's a natural culture where we live in cooperation with nature. We don't take more than we need. We produce things that are really helpful for everyone, that are needed for everyone. And you destroy that. Bring everyone into the city, dress them up like an American, make them work like an ass for something unnecessary. So the Krishna consciousness movement is not about helping some niche culture survive, some esoteric culture survive. It's about helping culture survive. If you want to have any kind of culture and not have it destroyed, if you want to have any kind of fulfilling life and not have it destroyed, then the values that we're teaching here will make sense for you. Okay. Another question. You have another question. Did you ask one already? Okay. Loud, loud, loud.
What do we do to control the mind?
What do we do to control the mind of someone who's addicted to something? Same thing. We can, first of all, the easiest mind, what's the easiest mind to control? Our own. To control someone else's mind is really hard. So, first work mind to work on is our own. But what about a person whose mind is way out of control, who's addicted to something? Again, this chanting will help. We have a lot of experience with people who are addicted to this, or addicted to that, or addicted to the other thing. And once they get a taste of a higher purpose, once they can, you know, they're overpowered by addiction, whether it's to a drug, or whether it's to, you know, just sex, or whether it's addiction to food. So some people have, you know, they just can't stop eating, or they're addicted to destructive behaviors. Whatever a person may be addicted to, it may, it's like has a power over him, practically. But when he connects to the supreme source of all power, then he's in a good spot. Okay, we have a few minutes more. You have a question. Okay. I'm getting you the microphone.
Do you read the Bible?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes. I don't read it every day. Oh, excuse me? Yeah, we do have other books. This book is called Bhagavad Gita. This is maybe the main book that we have, called Bhagavad Gita. And you'll find a lot here. And it's for people, you know, like some people are Christians. Some people are Muslims. They don't read the Bible, really. They read the Quran, right? Some people are Jews. They read the Old Testament, not so much the New Testament. Some people belong to still other religions, and so they have a different book. But everyone can take advantage of this book and become a better Christian, or a better Muslim, or a better Jew, or a better whatever they may be.
Part two of your question.
You say Krishna is another word for God, right? And you are vegetarians, yeah. Because Krishna was a vegetarian.
Because God is vegetarian.
How true is that? That our God, or like our Heavenly Father, was a vegetarian.
Yeah.
How true is that?
100%. God is, you know, God is the best friend of all living beings. God is the father of all living beings. Even like Jesus Christ, what is he also called? Lamb of God, right? What? Because the lamb is such an innocent creature. Right? Such an innocent creature. So why would God want the innocent creatures to be killed for no reason? Now, if somebody's starving, he's out in the middle of nowhere, there's no food, he's going to die, and there's a lamb, or there's a goat, or there's a dog even. You know, then you have to, rather than die, you have to eat, right? That's called an emergency. Right? In an emergency, you may have to do something. You know, you break a window to break out of your house. Now, you don't break your house, the windows of your house. But in an emergency, sure, you break the window and you jump out. So in an emergency, you can eat anything. But when there's no need, Why inflict pain on these animals, the innocent animals? You know, we don't need to eat the flesh of a lamb. We don't need to eat the flesh of a goat. We don't need to eat the flesh of a cow. We don't need to eat the flesh of a dog. How much fruit is there in South Africa? It's like a treasure house of fruit. We get all the best fruits in the world in this country. Very best. Vegetables, no problem. I was flying when I flew in here to Durban. So many fields. They're green, green, green. There's so much vegetables, so many varieties of vegetables, grains, fruits. There's corn, there's wheat, there's rice. So we don't need to take more. By God's arrangement, the tiger gets meat as its food. It has big, long teeth. And it's meant for drinking blood and all of that. But the human being doesn't need to do that. Okay, another question. You're new. Okay.
So if I join your organization, do I have to be a strict vegetarian?
If you join our organization, do you have to be a strict vegetarian? Well, our Bhakti Yoga Society, you can join whatever you are. But the more you become familiar with this culture, with this philosophy, the more you'll want to be a vegetarian. And the more you'll enjoy being a vegetarian. But, you know, we're thinking now, oh my God, I have to be a vegetarian, I have to get off this, I have to get off that. But once you get into this culture, you say, wow, I have so many things to eat. And I don't care about the other stuff. And those who are, you know, the serious members, those who get what we call initiation, then they're the ones who, yeah, they have to be. There's some rules if you want to make, you know, that kind of commitment. Then, yeah, there are some rules. Because when you follow some rules, then you can get something. There's nothing valuable that you can get without following some discipline. Isn't that true? Okay.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What did I just say? I mean, what language did I say?
Okay. Second question first. This language is called Sanskrit language. Sanskrit. S-A-N. S-K-R-I-T. Sanskrit. This is very, very, it's older than Greek, it's older than Latin. It's old, 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 old language. And very, well, there's a lot you can say about Sanskrit, but that's the language it is. But these are names. So Krishna means God, and as I explained, means all attractive. God has different names according to different things you could say about him. So because he's all attractive, he's called Krishna. Krishna can be, yeah, that's a good way of thinking, Krishna. And Rama is another name of God, and it means the reservoir of all pleasure. Whatever it is that gives you pleasure comes from God originally, right? If you get pleasure from seeing this guy, where does this guy come from? It comes from God. If you get pleasure from your boyfriend or your girlfriend, where do they come from? They come from God. Everything has its origin in God, so God is the origin of all pleasure. So that's the meaning of Rama. That leaves one word left, Hare. Hare addresses the merciful energy of God. The energy of God that gives pleasure or happiness and gives mercy also. So this is a prayer to God and to God's merciful, joyful energy to be engaged in God's service. Now I'm engaged in the service of my senses, I'm engaged in the service of my country, I'm engaged in the service of my boss, I'm engaged in the service of my so many things. But the best service is service to God. There's no higher service than service to God. So this mantra or this prayer says, Oh God, oh energy of God, please let me be engaged in your service. Is that good? Okay.
Do you guys eat like vegetarian stuff that contains soya?
Soy is okay. Soy is a bean. For protein fans, you get super ultra protein from soy. I see all these. If you go into the weightlifting shops, they have this protein, soy protein. It's got outrageous amounts of protein. So soy is okay. Just a bean. How much time do I have? 3 minutes. Okay. Yours.
I just need to know why you guys carry those small bags and how does it go?
There's a question a lot of people wanted the answer for. What are these small bags? Right? Keeping jewels in them? What's in the bag? Okay, bags have beads. Bags have beads. What's the bead for? The beads are for meditation. And what kind of meditation? On each bead, we chant a mantra. What mantra do you suppose we chant? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then we go to the next one. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's your personal meditation. You know, we have chanting all together and, you know, had a lot of loud sound. And then this, you can do something to yourself all the time. Whenever you get a moment, you can chant Hare Krishna. And it helps focus your mind and purify your mind.
Oh, how about that?
Okay, the next class is not going to show up, so we have more time if you'd like to ask more questions. Is that okay? That answered yours?
So, how can you convey your culture? How can you convey your culture to the Rastafarians? Because when you have your culture to the Rastafarians, your culture. Yes, your culture to the one of Rastafarians. Because only to find out that you made beads, clothing.
Would you like to answer that question? I don't know that much about Rastafarian culture, so maybe you can help me out.
Yeah.
Do you know more about it than I do?
Yeah, Rastafarians is about God. But they are also vegetarian, to some extent. You see, what you compare to comparison, and there are many similarities in terms of your diet, the fashion, the energy, the fashion of the day. Also, because they also try to focus on God, and also spiritual aspirations, which is what the Hare Krishna is also doing. So there is no, there's not much difference in that aspect. But in terms of culture, culture is very different. You know, especially in the civil platform. In Saudi Arabia or in the Sahara Desert, you can't expect the people there to have a culture of eating cabbages. You know, because cabbages is not growing in the desert. So culture in that sense, you can say it's a relative issue. But But the main focus is that everybody is trying to center their life around God.
Okay, I feel sorry.
Those of you who have to leave, that's okay. There's something for you to read there. I think the refreshments have already been passed out. And thank you all for coming, those who have to go, and welcome to come again. And those who want to stay and still have some questions, you're welcome to stay. I'll do my best to answer for you. Okay? Say again. Sing again.
Yes.
Okay. Ready, go. Let's get the singers up here. Strike up the band.
Very good. Are you going to sing a song?
Yes.